Previously on 24.
Madam President, we have your husband, but he sustained a gunshot wound to the chest.
Is my husband going to be okay?
We're not
going to
know anything until the doctors see him. Since your husband was the only leverage that Tabaku had left, it's safe to say that he's trying to leave the country now. Whatever we're going to do to find him, we're going to have to do it fast.
Whatever it takes, I want that son of a bitch found.
Have someone find my daughter, Olivia, and bring her to me.
What is it that's so important for my mother to steal me away while I'm trying to do business?
It's your father. He's been shot.
My God.
You think I'm a fool, Mr. Burnett? If anything should happen to me on my way out of the country, the data file with all the names and bank transactions of all those involved will be sent to the Justice Department.
You told me that once Tabaku served his purpose, you'd take him out. Why are we still helping him?
He's threatening to expose us using a database he's kept with names and accounts of everyone involved.
Including mine?
We don't know where the file is, so you just better pray that he gets away.
I'm begging you, Marie! FBI, don't move!
Get on your knees now!
Where is Tabaku?
Who?
Don't play games with me, Ike Tabaku!
You know this man?
She was going to meet him.
When the car arrives, we would like you to go with the driver so that we could follow you back to Tabaku.
You want her to go to him and face him?
It's the only chance we have of finding him before he disappears forever.
I'll do it.
You keep her safe, you hear me?
I will.
You're less than a mile behind the target car.
I got Metro PDs trying to build a roadblock around us.
We can't afford to lose them, Jack. I gave this woman my word we'd protect her.
Now, slowly! Get out of the vehicle slowly!
She's a federal agent! She is a federal agent!
Your girlfriend's been turned by the FBI. If you let her come to you, you're risking your chances of escape. I'll call my driver. Have him take care of her.
No, I'll take care of her.
The following takes place between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Yes, it's under my authority.
I'm Brandon Braga.
I'm Annie Wershing. I play Renee Walker.
I'm Manny Cotto.
I need to talk to you. And here we are.
Here we are. This was Brandon and I's fourth effort on the show. And by this time, Brandon is starting to get the hang of the writing thing, so we started to let him do more than just bring coffee and keep the keyboard, turn the computer on. He actually wrote some dialogue.
Aww.
So it was very exciting for Brandon.
Manny let me write two lines in this script?
I think two lines. They were very good.
It's
he
a
was
big
really
day
getting
for you.
The hang of it. It's very exciting. So that's our commentary. Thanks for joining us. That's all the material we prepared for this afternoon, but I hope you enjoyed it. And
I haven't even seen this episode yet, and this feels like it was years ago.
Well, the three of us were just talking about, you know, you get immersed in these intertwining storylines, you forget what happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So none of us could remember what happens in this episode. It's going to be a little bit of a surprise as we watch.
Yes.
Well, I remember, this subplot was particularly fun to come up with because we were stuck, you know, we decided at the beginning of the season there was going to be some type of mole, and there was a lot of talk, if you remember, about how to make this interesting, how to make this exciting, not just another mole. And at one point, we had an idea, which I particularly liked, was that everyone was going to be a mole. It was going to be like the Agatha Christie thing in Murder on the Orient Express, where you find out everybody on the train had done it. We were going to have Larry and Janice and Hall, everybody except for Renee,
right,
be a mole. But we couldn't make it work. So we ended up paring it down to two, which climaxes pretty interestingly in this episode.
You know, it's interesting now hearing people, now that the show has started to air, hearing people play the Guess the Mole game.
Right.
I find that very entertaining.
No, it's fun. On the websites, I think everybody's concluded that Janice is the mole.
Yeah. I've heard some Jeffries. I saw like a 2-1 odds on Larry Moss.
I wonder if there's actual pools out there.
I'm sure there are.
That would be,
I doubt it.
We could win. We could join.
Yes.
It was like anonymously.
There's the evil Tabaku.
Yes. Oh, Marika.
This was a tough scene to write.
Yeah.
Remember, we went through a lot of incarnations of this.
It was tough to sell Tabaku, convincing her to actually come along.
Right.
And then we realized, and we rewrote this scene so many times, she goes along only to save her own life and hope to catch him.
Right.
She was so great.
She's a wonderful actress.
Mm-hmm. I trusted you. How could you do this to me?
The FBI told me who you really are. About the terrible things you've
done. I thought Dubaku was a good villain for the first part of the season.
He's tremendous. I mean, and the actor really pulled it off wonderfully. It's a tough part. I mean, to suddenly segue into this little personal relationship he's been having, and not to be silly.
And Hakeem couldn't be like a sweeter man.
Yeah.
So to see him like this is
it's
very
interesting.
Amazing.
And this is obviously an important step in the Jack Bauer Renee Walker relationship, where if you've seen the season. It's all about Renee going down the Jack Bauer path step by step and going through the emotional convolutions that he must have gone through early in his career.
Right.
And he becomes something of her Jedi master.
Yeah.
And it culminates in a pretty interesting, ambiguous ending.
Right.
Yeah. I loved the desperation for Renee to save this woman here, Marika. I love that, being a fan of the show and seeing past episodes and past seasons and everything. It was because I can picture exact times when the Jack character had that one person that he was fighting for so intensely.
Absolutely.
I mean, at this point in the season, Annie, did you have any idea where your character, and did you have pre-thoughts about where you might be going? Where you
No
were?
Idea. You know, as you guys obviously know, there's a lot of actors who come up and see. Don't arrest us. There's a lot of actors that come up and try to get an idea of what the plan is, what the arc is, and all that. And I just decided to sort of stick with only what was in front of me, and play only the scene that was there and only what I already.
Which kind of works for the show, because your character doesn't really know what's coming
exactly.
next,
and you don't want to tip your hand.
How did you feel about having a gigantic Band-Aid on your neck for the whole thing? It's kind of like Chinatown,
actually,
right?
Actually, it actually became, I don't know if this is known anywhere, it became quite a fun game. At the end of a day of shooting, Sterling, our prop master, would take off all my props, and that is considered actually a prop. So then at the end of a shooting day, I would put that Band-Aid on someone as I would hug them goodbye.
That's funny.
And it was, you know, we'd have to pick who it was, someone who'd never had it before.
So those, you know how much money you can sell those Band-Aids? Band-Aids are
going to
go on eBay.
Actually has the last one from 20.
On eBay, you know, Annie Wershing's Band-Aid.
But it was very fun because then people would walk around with them on their backs and having no idea. They just thought they got a hug from me at the end of the day. They had no idea. Good times.
So you had a good time doing the show?
Oh, my God. Amazing.
It was fun?
It's absolutely amazing. Everyone was so welcoming and such a family. And this part, I mean, come on.
This was a great part.
This is a great part.
It was
great
one of the, it part. Ranks up there with one of the great female leads on this show.
Yeah. And just, no, it's probably the best.
And the first female field agent, for the most part, and just being paired with Jack so...
I remember in season 5, I came on in season 5, I remember there's a lot of talk of trying to pair Jack up with a female field agent. Mm-hmm. It was always, we were a little concerned that it didn't look like a Hollywood, you know, convention.
Right. Yeah.
Just to put a woman out there. But you really made it believable.
Thank you.
It was.
And you look, and even with the action sequences, like you jumping in the water and so forth.
Yeah.
we were all a little worried about that, but I guess that was a stunt double, so it doesn't really count. But.
I was definitely in some water. They took me in a boat, left me out in the middle, and said, "Okay, swim to shore." And I had a leather jacket on.
This is a great action chase.
This is actually the last part of the Universal backlot before it burnt down.
Right.
Yes.
Right. You're absolutely.
Oh, this was
right.
Universal.
This all burned to the ground.
We were one of the last people, last crews to shoot here. But yeah, this was a really cool day.
There were some great action sequences this season. There always are.
But they're always difficult because we can only do so much in television. They did a lot with very little here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except now the zipping. Let's discuss the zipping taxi.
Yeah.
Okay, right here. Oh.
No, what?
No, I was going to say right here. The first time we did this, Kiefer, we had to get out, my door, and he left it in drive, and I was standing on the hood.
Oh, my God.
And the car continued to go up over the curve. Oh. Awesome. I'm seeing this for the first time.
So here we have Zippy Taxi. Now, this was a big bone of contention.
We were not happy when we saw these dailies.
I'm beating him. I just want everyone to see him.
You are beating him.
But then I had to let him take over because he's Jack Bauer.
You had to slow down?
Yes.
Get out of the way! I'm a star!
I'm going to so get in trouble for that.
Get on the ground now! Now!
Sorry, I'm enthralled.
Anyway, Zippy Taxi. We just felt that the
you're supposed to be watching this action scene. The
tense action sequence
and the Zippy Taxi,
and it's shown twice. And in the first cut, I think you saw it like four times.
Yes, we trimmed it down.
I didn't even notice Zippy Taxi.
Good, because we were talking about CGI and getting rid of it, and
I kind of like the name Zippy.
This was a tough. This was an interesting sequence as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure to execute was to write. We did figuring out how Jack's attitude. Does he really let this person die? Is she alive? Is she not alive? And is Jack being overly cruel? This was a wonderful moment.
This was added, which you guys added on the set, which
by the way is improved. Made our crummy sequence work.
Yeah. No.
Well, we originally wrote this that she burned alive in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Then you guys redid it. Of course, you did add something that we cut out where Jack breaks the dead girl's leg, which was felt a little gratuitous. So that's out.
Oh, that's out.
Sorry.
No sound effect for that. Chicken bone.
Now here's the
was wonderful.
The old diving from the explosion
in the foreground. But this was done well. This was well done. It was nice.
Wow, look at the reflection of the smoke in the back.
Yeah, on the building.
Yeah, I remember rehearsing for this because when there's explosions like this, you only get to do it once. And we were going to be pulling her stunt girl, and you can only do it once. And I was very concerned about whether or not I was going to go forward at too early so I actually made them rehearse it once, and Kiefer was like, seriously? Am I seriously having to rehearse this right now?
I have no idea what happened.
Where are we? Oh, yeah.
This could be an episode of Lost, for all I know. I remember.
This is Henry's in the hospital, and she's bummed.
Mm, she's bummed.
She's distracted.
Right. I remember this was...
I'm sure that everybody, if you've listened to any other commentaries before this, everyone's raving about Jerry Jones, mm-hmm. No doubt.
I think I raved about her in episode 5.
She is great.
So great. I could not be a nicer person.
Another time. Can I get you anything? A present?
Well, thank you.
You guys got to talk because I wasn't in this scene.
Oh, is that how it is? You probably only read your scenes.
No.
You have them highlighted for you.
Are you kidding?
I do remember this scene being a late addition. I don't remember why. I remember we were struggling. I think at one point we were frankly struggling to keep Cherry in this.
Right.
Because there wasn't a lot. This wasn't really her story, this episode. And I think I remember feeling that we needed at least one scene with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get that every once in a while. Like your episode 15, where you weren't in episode
one scene.
15. But much. But, you know, the character's arcs come and go. And this was, I think, to keep this story alive.
Mm.
Because we had lost her.
President, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, right, Bill.
I just spoke to Larry Moss at FBI. We captured DeBaku.
Yes, we did.
Injured in a car crash during pursuit. Critical, non-responsive. Jack Bauer and Agent Walker are with him. They'll be there to question him should he regain consciousness.
So you're saying that if DeBaku dies, our chances of uncovering this conspiracy die with him?
This is one of those scenes that we write on these shows.
Yeah, I'm falling asleep right now.
Well, you know what? It's funny because this show is the only show I've ever seen that does this, where you literally have scenes that tell us exactly what happened.
And what's going on.
And what's going on. But you know what?
It really works.
They're effective because they keep you... It's easy to get confused. And this show, one thing, it does a very good job of keeping you up to date and informed about what's going on,
you
don't quite get confused. And this is one of those scenes where, in traditional writing class, your teacher would say, "What is this?"
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a pure exposition.
You've said this.
You've said this. We've just seen it. But strangely enough, on this show, it works. And we do a lot of briefing scenes.
Well,
and,
also, because the stories are interconnected, you've got to catch everybody up.
Right. All the characters have to find out what's happening.
Right. Right.
Yeah, you never want to assume that you learned something off-camera when they were at like a White House.
You could, because it confuses the audience. The audience then doesn't know. Well, does the president
how
know?
How does she know that? Yeah, right.
What are we going to do, Ethan? How can we possibly run this government when we don't know who we can trust?
We'll just have to pray Jack Bauer can get those names from DeBacco.
And Agent Walker.
That's true. No
her.
One ever mentions Walker.
This was a pretty cool sequence we came up with. I remember being very excited that the data disk was buried inside the guy. And Jack had to dig it out.
I think that's something we came up with. It never changed, did it?
No,
it was always in there.
We always try to preserve that sequence.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Look at his eyes.
I want the names of everyone in the United States government that you've been working with. Come on. You and I both know the game. It's over for you now. There's no sense in trying to protect them.
I think Kiefer actually read some of our dialogue there.
Yeah.
I think I heard a line. I think I heard one of our lines.
Okay, okay.
That's pretty great. I'm very excited.
There is improvisation that goes on and alterations, but which is not uncommon.
Usually for the better.
Yeah.
Just give me the names.
Don't touch my family.
Actually, that's an old gag from the Marx Brothers. Groucho Marx was watching one of his plays being... Oh, no, George F. Kaufman was watching one of the Marx Brothers performing his plays. And he's in a conversation. He goes, hold on, I think I just heard one of my lines.
No response, there's a glitch. Once more. Clear! There it is again, electronic interference.
Of course, we made all this up.
Yeah.
This was...
by the way,
This is a Kidron, Ohio moment where we just...
Well, how about the hills in the background of Washington, D.C.? The mountains.
Oh.
That's a nice touch.
At least it's on a palm tree.
Uh-oh. I never noticed the hills. That's
What's he
It was very brief,
there?
But... I thought that was pretty graphic for TV.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sir, this man will die if we don't get him to the hospital.
Get him out of here.
There's a little moment that comes up here that always, I think, bugged us a little bit.
We never quite figured out a way to work around it. You mean when he hands it over to the...
There's a massive government conspiracy. It's all they're worried about. He hands it off to some dude.
Pilot.
Some pilot. He says,
hey, he looks like a nice guy. Fly this into CT. Or
don't show this to anybody.
Right.
But we never could figure out a way to get the chip back to FBI.
With someone safe. Yeah.
But when I watched...
We talked about downloading it. Why didn't we do that? I don't remember why.
He
plugs it into his phone and downloads it to FBI. Oh, you know
this
why?
Guy looks
because
reliable.
We needed time. No, we needed time. He looks good. He's got
this
the goatee. He looks seedy as hell. They didn't even cast somebody who looks on. He looks like a sign on his forehead. You know, conspiracy.
This was a fun storyline.
This was a terrific scene in the sequence here, where she's freaking out.
Sean, what is it?
This scene is actually shot in one of the bathrooms in the building where we write the show.
Oh my gosh. I remember being in this bathroom before I was going in for my callbacks, actually in this room where we're doing this commentary right now.
Yeah. It's right down the hall. This was shot in the downstairs
right
bathroom
here,
down the hall.
Really? Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, we saved a little dough probably on this set because it's not a set. It's a real bathroom.
If you look closely, you can see Brandon in the background in one of the stalls.
You can see my feet with my pants around my ankles.
Stop talking and just listen to me. Now, I told you I have a way out of this, but I need your help. Do you understand
this
that?
Scene really taps into a lot of men's primal fears.
Yes, we all know where we've all been here.
We've all been here, minus the murder.
Oh, dear.
That's crazy.
No, it's not crazy. We're going to go up to the mainframe room, initiate a system-wide reformat.
You know, it's interesting. We're watching this with somebody who's a fan of the show. This is probably being ruined for you, isn't it?
I already seen it.
Oh, okay. Oh, have you seen it already?
I haven't. And I was the biggest fan of the show.
Erica?
Crazy Erica.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody sees this coming at the end. I don't.
It'll be interesting.
It's a pretty good shock, I think.
We debated a long time about how to do this.
Okay, we have to hurry.
How to end this storyline? We're gonna have Sean get away with it for a while, and
right.
And
well, we liked him so much that we wanted to bring him back as a bad guy inside FBI, having to help Janice.
We kept trying to find a way to get this actor back. We never did. It just never happened.
I love you too.
Yeah, that's the creepiest I love you too I've ever heard.
Yeah. In a good way.
You run for the hills.
These are Marika Genoso's personal effects.
Thank you.
Copy that. Get back to me. That was Larry. They got the drive. Always going to be working on them. They should have something in the next few minutes.
That's all that matters, right, Jack?
I don't like what happened to Marika any more than you do. We did what was necessary. You better figure out a way to live with it.
Oh, Jack, pretend that it never happened. Is it that easy for you?
I'll let you know when Chloe's got something.
Here it is.
This is a PX17 drive. It's got an auto erase function. We've only got one download.
So back to me being amazing.
Yeah.
You were saying.
You were saying. We felt you never quite achieved the brilliance that we had hoped. No. We were saying how concerned we were over this arc about could we really pull this off? The Renee's, because it's a lot, very internal what Renee's feeling about what's happening to Marika. It's a lot of looking at mm-hmm. the body and the chip and you really just did a brilliant job of pulling making us look like we knew what we're doing.
And this has the infamous slap sequence, which is one of our favorite scenes where she lays into Jack, and we went through some pretty insane incarnations on that scene that we discussed and even wrote.
Yes, actually, when we got the script, there was a kiss along with a slap.
Right.
That ended up.
The first
to a slap into a kiss, which is a little bit of a cliche.
It's a little cliche.
Slap, kiss me. You know. But at one point, when we were discussing, I think this was Fury's idea, was pitching, they actually, Jack and Renee actually, sidle off into a room and have sex.
Oh, my.
While Marika's body is out.
Okay.
So that was on the table for a little while.
I think we ended with the perfect.
I think so too.
Dynamic.
Did you guys on set consider the kiss? Did you try the kiss?
No.
It never even happened. Never even got there.
Never even happened. Kiefer said that just sounds cliche.
It was cliche.
It was. Cliche. And you know what? I think we knew it wasn't going to last long.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's, It is. Goes a slap into sort of a hold.
Yeah?
Yeah, he comforts you.
Yeah, he comforts me after I punch him.
No, Manny and I worked on Star Trek together, and so I think this is a pretty much a Star Trek sequence.
This is a Star Trek sequence. A lot of tech here that we made up off the top of our heads.
And Annie was on Star Trek.
That's right.
I did one episode of Enterprise.
Right.
It was my very first TV appearance.
Do you remember the name of your character?
Liana. Had a little blonde wig and some spots on my temples and going down my spine.
That sounds like Star Trek.
Do you remember what alien race you were?
I was an alien humanoid.
What race?
Were you a hologram?
No.
You were real.
She was a hologram.
Real.
But what was
no,
your
was
species?
Oh, you were.
What species were you?
It just said alien humanoid. I don't know. This is deliberate. Spots.
Where's your mainframe room?
This is one of our favorite moments as well in the show here, where
which I haven't seen and I'm very excited to see.
It's too bad you're seeing this without
the
music, but it's pretty cool.
There's no stopping it.
I knew you can do it.
You gonna be okay?
I'm gonna be fine.
Their kiss got to stay.
Of course, without the gunshot,
it doesn't quite have the.
It feels like he poked her.
Yeah, we're watching a cut, unlike you at home, with no sound effects. So,
so he just kind of jabbed her.
Yeah, she's
really
like,
hard.
Wow, ooh, this hurts. What's in my mouth?
I love the way he followed her down, looking at her in the eyes as she died. It was pretty chilling.
Oh, man,
what a sleazeball!
Not cool.
Of course, we've also, as men, fantasized about this.
What?
Just kidding.
Oh. Heard that one.
Another really hard sequence to pull off. The staged murder.
We went through a lot of incarnations in this as well. I mean, who comes in, you know, because it was supposed to be, FBI is not supposed to know what's going on, right? So at one point we had guys come in.
Right.
With Larry.
Mm.
Larry, wasn't me.
These scripts are written and rewritten so many times.
Yeah.
More than any show, I think, I speak for Manny, than I've ever worked, ever worked on.
This was the post-strike, the first, was this our first post-strike?
We wrote a draft right before the strike.
Right before the strike.
Of this script.
Of 9 and 10. We've done up to 8.
Right.
The strike happened.
We shot 8, right?
We shot 8.
But the draft that we wrote at 10 before the strike, I'm pretty sure we just junked.
Yeah.
We junked 9 and 10 after the strike.
Mm. You're right.
And started over pretty much. There's a lot of thinking that went on during the strike. No writing.
No writing. Not
thinking.
One word.
Not one word. By gum. A lot of picketing. What did you do during the strike, Annie?
What did I do during the strike? I moved my mom to California.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Is she out here for good?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
She's out here for good. It actually, the timing of it worked out good because I was able to go home and help her through it all.
Were you guys concerned that it wasn't going to stop? That we were just going to keep on?
Oh, of course.
Brandon and I would spend almost every afternoon at the house, in my house, smoking cigars and
weeping,
drinking scotch.
Weeping. Getting drunk.
Raging about the Writers Guild strike.
Now, this was a little bit of a real-time issue because the commercial breaks, of course, are real-time.
You have 5 minutes.
How do you get up there? You got bandage. A lot happened. This was...
We talked about this a lot. We couldn't figure out another way around it.
I told you what happened. I feel like you owe me an explanation.
I don't know if you're supposed to be pointing out all of the...
That's the
bad stuff. That's what fans
flaws.
Like. Anyone who's obsessive enough to actually listen to the commentary...
I'm sure that they've already figured it out on their own. Right? Right, guys?
Well, I would hope.
That's why I shut you out, brought in Chloe O'Brien.
No, if you have, like, the best bandager in the world.
It's possible they raced him down to the infirmary.
Bleeding.
And
okay.
You know.
Yeah. This is Larry Moss.
John, I didn't know who to trust.
Jeffrey Nadler.
You know, the...
That's all we have to say about that.
This is his actor name. This is his character
name. This is Jeffrey Nordling, Larry Moss, ladies and gentlemen. Next.
Who is amazing and a very good friend.
Wonderful
of
guy.
The love triangle, between
yes.
Larry and Renee and Jack, you know, it was never really clear, nor were we clear,
are Larry and Renee getting it on?
Which
are they
I like.
Not?
I like that people are wondering
now,
about this
what
sort
we
of
did
history.
Film two scenes that we added to episode 7 that make it totally clear that you are involved. It's the past, though.
It happened in the past.
History, but we make it very clear there.
That's the one where Larry's looking at nude photos.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of Renee.
Of me and Renee on the beach.
Perfect. So I'll see that next week.
Surprise.
I do like Larry's piercing eyes, though.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, when you're done there, why don't you go downstairs and see Dr. Webb?
This is a scene with two guys with piercing eyes. who pierces harder.
I think Larry wins.
I think, yeah.
Because they're light.
I mean, the creative process of writing the show is very interesting. We literally exhaust every possible incarnation. It's like a branching tree of possibilities of, should Sean get away? Maybe Sean does this. Maybe Sean... We go through everything until finally settling on one. And it kind of comes down to The Wire, which I think adds... Because we don't quite know where we're going. I think that adds something to the show, the unpredictability of the show.
Absolutely.
So you're all just in a room to... Like, is it... When it's an episode that just the two of you write, is it just the two of you in a room brainstorming, or is everyone in a room together?
Everyone is usually in a room brainstorming the story, the outline, the plot. And then Brandon and I go off and write.
And how long does the brainstorming part take? Just until everybody agrees on a...
Yeah.
Until it can take days or weeks.
Yeah, it can take a long time.
Uh-oh. Squeaky shoes. This is very strange without the music.
You know...
Ooh, Larry.
I will say the episode plays pretty well even without the music, so it's going to be pretty
damn,
be a pretty damn good episode, I think, once it's all together.
I need to speak with my attorney.
You do not want to cross Larry Moss.
Women holy.
Anyway. Almost got away.
Where's Renee?
Renee is in the hospital staring
at Tupac. She's getting ready for her big scene.
I'm getting ready for Marika's sister.
There it is.
This was a very, very intense day. I remember the night before, I wanted to stay up and not have slept at all.
Did you?
I think I slept maybe an hour. I just wanted to have a little bit of some
rawness,
happening. Oh, this was heartbreaking.
What do you mean? There was a crash. It happened during the pursuit. Marika was killed.
I cannot imagine having to be someone that has to tell people in a hospital that family members have died.
You're a good crier. You have real tears.
What is this? This is supposed to make everything okay? Marika was all I had. I trusted you with her life, and you let her die?
No, I tried. Seriously. Blame Jack. Don't blame Jack.
It's a great scene.
It really,
really heightens what she's feeling. She's getting blamed for something she already feels responsible for.
Good job, you guys.
No. Back at you.
I just got off the phone with Larry. The bucket wasn't lying. On the drive was a list of everyone he was working with in the government. We're getting ready to make arrest. It's over.
It's not over for Rosa.
What happened to Marika was a tragedy.
This is a nicely staged episode, by the way. It just occurred to me. I don't remember who's the director on this. But
I think it was Mylan.
Mylan. Yeah, it looks like a Mylan. It's beautifully shot. Not to take anything away from our other directors, but it's just... It is. He really gets into the scenes. I mean, inside the camera, inside the moments.
This was so fun to do. And I remember he kept telling me I could hit him harder.
Really?
Yeah. But it was interesting because then we had to be careful of that he was going to have red marks on his cheek for the next take.
Do you feel the same kind of pain that I do? Do you feel that? Do you feel that?
Could have been a kiss.
The nuzzle's fine.
This is much better than
the kiss. It's far better. The kiss would have
kiss
been...
Kiss is sexual, guys.
It doesn't work.
Flow from this, from the emotions in this. And this is a wonderful moment. It makes this probably one of the better episodes of the season, I think.
What if I don't
want
to learn to live with it?
Quit. By the way, that stunt you pulled by the car, you ever pull your weapon on me again?
Now, this was an exchange you guys improvised on the set.
Yes, that we added. Yes, and, I forgot about that.
Which I think is great.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah. You know, we,
there's a lot of argument. People, some others wanted to cut it. I thought it was.
We didn't want
cool.
to undercut the emotion moment. Of the moment with a
an exchange
an
about,
exchange that was unrelated.
Right.
But it's just such a cool exchange, mm-hmm. and yeah. it shows that there's conflict between mm-hmm. them. You know, so.
And it wasn't. Well, I like it wasn't that far. Yeah. Back.
I particularly like the review. Not so much Kiefer's line, but your response.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She was intending. I would have shot you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
What's going on?
It's Brig.
This was the first big Olivia scene. Wasn't it?
I don't know.
After she's plucked out from.
Right.
See, I haven't seen any of her stuff.
Because
I only saw the first date.
And this one, I remember previous drafts. Remember Olivia showed up at the hospital?
Right.
We were pulling our hair out about where to have Olivia show up, and do we keep the president at the hospital? Little things like that, which seems simple. I remember we just went back and forth. Conspiracy inside the government.
The people behind it trying to kill. You know, this was a character that kind of, I think, Manny, you suggested this character, adding this particular character to the show. We felt the White House story needed a new burst of energy.
I thought she needed something personal to be arguing over besides the invasion of Sangala.
Yeah.
And this really, the character thankfully morphed into something big.
We were worried at first it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But it turns out to go, you can't imagine the season without this character.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So then where into it did you come up with Olivia? The idea of Olivia.
I don't remember where it was. It was just simply during one of the conferences where we were
before the season started, or
in the middle of the season. Mm. We had run out of interesting story material for Cherry, mm-hmm. and we wanted something. I remember, you know, the thought was, let's give her something personal besides, I mean, because Henry's convalescing. The invasion is out of the picture, so there's nothing left. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to bring in, and we conceived of this turning her into a schemer who was going to cause more trouble in the White House.
Jack Bauer just returned. And the two of them became so close. I actually just saw them both yesterday, and Sprague calls Cherry Mama. Hi, Mama.
Well, they have a great dynamic. I mean, an episode all the way through episode 24, their dynamic is the story just unfolded beautifully. It looks like we planned it all ahead in advance and had it laid out in big boards.
You've already begun acting on this information.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Larry Moss just identified two more individuals.
You know, being a fan of the show, it was always, I got used to working with Kiefer because I had so much stuff with him, you know, to having scenes with Jack Bauer. It was when I would all of a sudden have scenes with Bill Buchanan or Chloe, but I was like, seriously, why is Bill Buchanan talking to me right now? I would have like little fan moments of like, oh my gosh.
So you were a fan of the show before you came on?
Oh, I had seen every episode of every season.
Oh, really? Wow.
I remember I had just moved to LA. I remember sitting in my little tiny, not pretty apartment in Hollywood and inviting my friend over and watching the first season on Mondays.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
He's already taken his pound of flesh. He dismantled CTU.
Have any of you done yoga with James?
No, but I see him all the time on Larchmont Boulevard,
Wolf
Street
in
LA, and he's always surrounded by beautiful young yoga girls. I know he's...
I'm going to open a yoga studio.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to get into yoga.
He's given me a few, free yoga class that I haven't done.
I appreciate your sentiments, Bill, but I'm going to have to...
Yeah, he's like a yogi master.
Mm-hmm. Which is so hard to imagine just watching this, but... Oh.
Whoops. Well, you don't see this at home, but this scene was shot entirely on a green screen. Set. None of this is real. And if you've seen the finished version, mm-hmm. You may not realize watching it.
We were amazed when we saw the finished version, how beautiful it looked.
It's really incredible. It's what they call a virtual location. We're seeing the raw version right now where they're sitting against a huge green screen.
I need to talk with you.
About what?
I told you I was going to...
Now, this is a little bit of a one of those scenes where...
A vamp.
Where the story ended... The conspiracy story ended, and now we're going to start a new story.
Right.
Who's in custody? He's already provided us with a list of everyone.
And I'm where? I'm still at the hospital? This is hard to remember.
Yes.
I'm still at the hospital.
Right, because in the next episode, you'll realize Dubaku's been murdered.
Right.
Remember?
We're going to follow that trail to the boat.
And that's where you get to the boat and the white
happened.
Right,
thank you. Got it.
This leads into two pretty great episodes.
Yes.
Well. Yeah.
11 and 12 are pretty dynamite.
The Siege of the White House.
Which I thought came out really great. It wasn't easy getting the information
out of him. Was that something that you had planned the whole?
It was an idea.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to get there.
Yeah, that's something we talked about very early on.
Yeah, we knew we wanted to get there. I wade through their procedures and red tape. It's going to be too late. That's an interesting episode as well, because the first cut was atrocious. Because we were missing a lot of the firefight in the White House.
Mm-hmm. The siege of the White House, when they get in, was probably like 25 seconds long. And Manny, it was like, we got to shoot a whole new sequence.
It looked like they walked in through the back door and they're suddenly in the Oval Office. It was not pretty.
Now, I was just in Munich and London with these two gentlemen here on an international press tour. It was very, very exciting.
I'm sure they're superstars.
Yes, superstars. You better not be lying to me. But we just got back, so it's funny just to be sitting here watching them. This is real, Jack.
Burnett will be on Dubaku's list. As soon as he finds out that Dubaku's in custody, he'll start running. You don't have a lot of time.
It's interesting the way Kiefer played this scene, because we were a little confused when we saw it. We weren't sure if this was right or not, but Kiefer plays Tony as if he can't trust him.
Right. Because Tony had done some bad things. Right. And I think it was a very intelligent choice, even though Kiefer didn't realize we ultimately were going to make Tony a bad guy.
Right.
His distrust of Tony and caution about Tony turns out to be well-founded.
Yeah. Exactly.
Always go with your gut, like Oprah says.
Is that what Oprah says?
Yeah, I think so. Trust that little voice inside.
Thank you for your patience. As I'm sure some of you already know, our government and its ancillary agencies, including this...
Last time we see Sean.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yep, in a little box.
Never got him back.
Never did.
Yes, Senator?
This creepy Burnett.
Well, this character also, the Senator Mayer turned into a great character. Because originally he was just going to be the guy inquisiting Jack at the top of the season. And
he's fabulous.
We were able to work him in.
Well, he really became a character that ended up having a real point of view. That wonderful
First
scene
Jack.
With Jack in episode
14, I think it is.
Yeah.
Wasn't that 14?
14.
Yeah, where he and Jack, yeah.
It's odd, though. What is, sir? Barrow was pulled away from the Senate hearings this morning to help the FBI with an investigation.
I remember watching when we filmed the first episode with him and Jack in the Senate hearing. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting dynamic with them.
Yes, sir.
I never even met this guy. It's so funny with all the different storylines that you don't even work with half of the people.
I think, Manny, we spent 4 hours trying to figure out what this text message would say that didn't look cheesy. I can't remember what it was because we don't have the final version. There's no burn-in.
What were some of the incarnate?
Well, I don't remember. We're done.
Well, thanks for listening to our commentary.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
If you made it through to the end.
Hope there wasn't
too many dead spots.